This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Tuesday and it is a beautiful day outside, and we have a packed show as usual. Coming up, we're going to be in studio with Joan O'Connor, the head of the Tilton Winter Farmers Market. We're going to hear some news about the Tilton Winter Farmers Market. And a little later on in the show, we'll be hearing from Ruth Zachs, the head of Chili Fest that's going to be happening in Henniker, Fire on the Mountain. That's on August 23rd. And a little later in the show, we'll be joined with Julie Barron, president and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire, and hear what kind of wishes that they're granting to all the, the children in New Hampshire.
The big rafting event, the big fundraiser,
the big rafting
starts
event.
Tomorrow at 3 on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yes, in Heskey Park.
And what is this? There is food in my place and a bottle of water.
Well, you know, Michelle's been kind of meeting me every day for lunch, and we're getting into the routine. I always like to split something, but she likes to eat the whole thing, and I really don't eat the whole thing.
No.
So this is a roasted vegetable panini.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't it? It's so good.
Probably with provolone cheese again, which
is
yesterday's
provolone and cheddar.
So I'm seeing what appears to be asparagus and probably
there's some peppers and onions, and
oh my gosh,
it's really good.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For sharing your meal with me and potato chips.
Had it left over, and I said, well, I'll send him down with some chips because I know he's a chipaholic.
I am more than I should be.
They were testing him on one of the other stations this morning.
Oh,
I
yes.
was listening.
Yes, they were doing were you here the day we talked about the four new flavors?
We did.
Okay, so that's what they were doing.
Michelle tried. Well, you know, we should do that one day and plan it.
Oh, sure.
Maybe tomorrow. Maybe we can do it tomorrow at the beginning.
If you know where they're selling them or whatever.
They must have. Well, you know what? I have to go to Market Basket. So if I find them at Market Basket.
There's four flavors. Okay.
They seem to have had them this morning. So hopefully maybe they're around, you know. But you're right. Sometimes you can't find them.
Yeah, it's tough to say if Frito-Lay provided that or, you know, if they just went out and bought them.
Right.
So, well, that'd be fun.
Yeah. So I know Michelle tried the truffle fries. And she said they were really good.
I just had truffle fries a couple days ago somewhere. I mean, with truffle oil.
Oh yeah,
and Parmesan.
The real thing, yeah, it's good.
The
but
real
these were the
thing,
truffle fries.
Yes,
potato chips.
Right, because he used to make them that way. Didn't we have them in the studio here? Or maybe that was the day you weren't here. I don't know. Well, I just had some recently.
Z hasn't been around.
Well,
for a
no,
while.
They haven't. But they used to make truffle fries. That's the first time I had them.
Yes. Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow, those are so
obviously,
good.
Obviously, years and years ago, and I did reach out to our friend Tom Puskerich, who used to run it. And he got back to me, and then somehow in between, you know, I'm waiting to hear back again to sign him up because so many people loved Z when it was here.
I know.
Just want to catch up with what he's doing, see what his plans might be.
Yeah.
So,
well,
Tom.
Well, you know, it's summer. So people, you know, like I reached out to my friend Court that owns the Five Guys. And
oh, right.
But I think it's summer, and people are busy and maybe on vacation and stuff, you know? I don't know.
That's no excuse, people.
Well, I'm with you, but
I'm
thinking of what it might be.
Yeah. No, you're right, because if you don't get out and have your fun this time of year, it's just more difficult. You got holidays, you got lousy weather, you get sickness. So you know what? I think you're doing it smart a couple days off a week during the good weather. Man, I'm with you.
And Daryl's off.
Yes.
Well, he's jobless.
That's what I that's what I heard. Yeah.
But you know what? He's going to be repairing a granite, starting his own thing on the side.
But what? How does granite break?
I mean, everybody says that.
I'm thinking, wait, whatever goes wrong with granite?
He can do anything with stone. Like if you get a chip on it, or if you want to fix your seam, or
Can he suck the radon out of it? Because I know there's radon in a lot of granite.
I have no idea. You'd have to chat with them.
That would be the job to have. If you come up with a process to de-radonize granite, well, of course, most of the granite we have here is our bedrock, as opposed to, I mean, most of this granite, I think, comes from Brazil, does it not?
I don't
The granite
know.
They use.
He's the granite guy. I have no
idea. All right. Well, he won't talk on the radio, though, right? Because how many people have granite countertops in their kitchen?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's food-related.
It is.
I use it for a cutting board.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you cannot destroy granite. That's why I'm figuring out. how's this guy going to make any money? Granted, other than like chunk, you know, whacking off a corner or something.
You know, you'd be surprised because he's already, you know, he's pretty well known in the industry because he's a, you know, he's a great installer.
He's a master granite guy.
So the design people know him, and he's already made a few calls, and he already has a few jobs.
That's fabulous. So. What I'm thinking is staining. If you have a light colored granite and you have some wine or some cherry juice, that if you haven't had the granite sealed, then maybe that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, but chips, seams, he can do anything.
That's about all I can figure that could go wrong with it. So that's why I would love to have him on.
Well, you can try that. If you do that, you'll get a big bonus.
Really? A big.
That would be funny. I don't think it'll happen. But
no.
You never know.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
I guess you never know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this looks really good. I feel like eating it.
I'll take a bite.
All right, so this...
it's from Midtown Cafe. It's a roasted vegetable panini with a side of potato chips because that's Mike's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a roasted vegetables.
There's pesto in there, I think, too.
And homemade pesto. Mm. That's right. That's what really makes it.
It does.
I forgot that it was the best part.
Mm.
Homemade pesto.
And the multigrain bread with the...
I love the multigrain bread.
Mm.
It's really good.
Oh, this is fabulous,
yeah,
Carol.
It's very good. So, listeners, you are listening to The Pulse. We're live at the Beacon Building. You can come on down and have one of these delicious roasted vegetable paninis if you'd like, and you can catch the show as well. Today's food holiday, it's a really good food holiday. Actually, I should have brought one down. Darn it. It's a National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
Yes, you should have, but this is good. This is probably better overall for me.
It is.
Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
It is.
Hey, did I send you a picture of the pork chop I made last night?
No.
Oh, I meant to. Nope. I guess it's in my camera.
Nope.
Because I was using special
healthy solution spice blends.
And I just wanted to show not only does it taste good, some of those spice blends, if you do it as a rub, it looked like out of a magazine. I got it on my phone. I'll show you in here.
Oh, my gosh. And it's so it stayed on and it crusted like?
It stayed on. You know, just kind of pat it on lightly and I let it sit out so it kind of comes to room temperature and the grill was really hot. You put it on there and it looks fabulous. Now, Barb wanted her pork chop with sauce, barbecue sauce. And that didn't look nearly as pretty as mine did.
Yeah, I bet.
But I'm really impressed with her spice blends because I've been telling you that. She gave us a bunch of samples, and I use them a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Hamburgers, steak. Because we know that there's almost no salt or sugar in many of those. So why am I going to mess around in the kitchen trying to get the spice blends right when she's done all the work.
Yeah,
and she's one of our sponsors, I ought to mention, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. I'll show you the picture during the break.
Yeah, for sure. But National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, and the couple of the trivia on it was kind of interesting.
Wait on me.
25% of all cookies baked in the United States are chocolate chip cookies. 25%.
25%, really?
Yeah.
Boy, Mrs. Fields made a bundle on them, didn't she?
She must have.
Oh, she
did. Doesn't say anything about Mrs. Fields in here, though.
That's because people are jealous.
It was invented by Ruth Graves Wakefield in the
Massachusetts.
1930s. In Massachusetts.
That's right. Out in the Springfield area.
Whitman, Mass, it says?
Yeah, that's out near Springfield.
Ruth cooked for her guest one day, had to substitute semi-sweet chocolate for baker's chocolate in a cookie recipe. She chopped the chocolate in bits, but when she took the cookies from the oven, the semi-sweet chocolate had not melted into the dough as the baker's chocolate had. These cookies with chocolate chips became an immediate hit with her guests.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about how accidents became very popular, iconic foods, and that's maybe one of the best.
Yeah.
Good example of that.
It is a really good example. Mm-hmm. The official state cookie of Massachusetts is the chocolate chip cookie, invented in 1930 at the Toll House restaurant.
Yes.
All right. There we go.
All right. So I got you. Yeah, you know what reminded me? I noticed there's asparagus in the sandwich
there
that you gave me.
There is. Roasted asparagus.
Well, and I know.
I love asparagus. Do you like asparagus?
I do love asparagus.
Probably my favorite vegetable.
Is that right?
It is my favorite vegetable.
And I like it kind of thin. I don't like the thick, tough stalks.
I won't buy them if they're big.
No.
I'll look, and if they're nice and thin, that's the only time I'll buy them.
Yeah, exactly, because they're tender, and they steam up so beautifully. So this was a Twitter user. I found this online. Twitter user Layla expressed confusion in a recent tweet featuring the above image of a row of bottles of what is labeled asparagus water on the shelf.
Come on.
The bottles appear to be filled with water and three stalks of raw asparagus. They are priced at $5.99 each.
So it's just water with asparagus stalks stuck
in it?
And people drink it?
The labels say Whole Foods. And the date on the bottles current. A call to the supermarket in Brentwood, California, did not yield any helpful information, but this this writer got through to somebody that would did give some answers. He said, "We've had them on the shelf for the last few days. When asked how the new item is made, he said, quote, it's water, and we sort of cut asparagus stalks down so they're shorter and put them in the container. When Eater, this is the website, eater.com, asked what it was for, there was a long pause before he said, well, it's to drink. He elaborated the nutrients from the asparagus do transfer into the water. Anyway, how much was it, did I say?
$5.99.
This writer says, I wonder if the new Whole Foods, you know, they have the new discount version of it, if they're going to sell them for $3.99 instead at the new 365 markets.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm not buying that.
I'm not buying that either.
No.
I mean, as much as I like asparagus, I don't know.
Yeah. And finally, I thought of you because you you have experimented with a couple of different send away for meals.
Yes.
And what's the blue plate something?
Plated.
Plated.
And Blue Apron.
And Blue Apron. So I got the two titles confused. Well, here's another one for you to think about.
Ooh.
If you're feeling adventurous. The Try the World concept is pretty simple. Every 2 months, a box arrives. I'll give you the sheet. You don't have to write anything down.
Oh.
With 6 to 7 items that represent a particular culture. Recent destinations have featured a Morocco box, an Argentina box, whose offering included the traditional sweet, milky, dulce de leche confection, and the fixings of the sausage sandwich, choripan con chimichurri. They have, you know, different Asian places. And so what you do is it's like the culture food of the month, and it arrives all ready to put together, stuff that you probably couldn't find locally, or
right.
If you did, you'd have to drive all over God's creation to find it. Try the World boxes are priced at $33 each based on a one-year subscription. The Japan box was released early this month. Also, they have a Paris box. That one's a little bit more. But anyway, I'll give
this
to you.
That's pretty cool.
And you can you know, that,
yeah.
That said Carol Lawrence on it when I ran across it on online today.
Try the World concept. Okay. No, that sounds really good.
Because you're adventurous. I mean, I don't know that I would spend the money that you have on that stuff just because I'm, well, I'm not working full time anymore. But you say the quality is really good.
Quality is very good.
And leftovers.
Zero leftovers. Mm-hmm. That's what we like the best.
Right.
And, you know, I think for the cost, I think it's well worth it. And we did come to a conclusion on which was better.
Oh, you did?
Plated or Blue Apron. And definitely plated.
So that was the first one you tried?
Plated is the first one that we've been using for a little while.
Okay.
Yes, not consistently every week, but because you can
right.
go in and you can change your, you know, you can.
Now, did you say that Blue Apron's presentation wasn't quite as good? Is that part of it?
That was definitely part
mm-hmm.
of it. And, you know, the quality of the ingredients a little bit more. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, really bad about it, but
right.
No, it definitely plated. I think, you know, was definitely a much better choice.
Okay. All right. So,
and Plated's website, this is a big
mm-hmm.
thing for me, is more friendly than Blue Apron's
right.
website. You know, that to me is a big thing too, because when
right.
you're going around and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't figure things out and it's not like right there,
yes.
you know, as a consumer. And I'm, you know, I mean, I know how to run a computer. It's
mm-hmm.
not like I'm, you know what I mean?
Right.
That stupid about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, definitely Plated. Plated.com.
Wow. Well, let me know if you do the
I know.
Try the
I
world,
can't wait to show Daryl this because I think
especially if you have a hankering
he'll be all
for
over this.
Yeah.
I mean, $33 a month, and it must have, like, different – it's probably not like a meal, I'm thinking. It's probably like
dig
a
into
few
it.
Things,
yeah.
you know.
I just hit the highlights on that. I didn't want to go into all the details,
yep.
but
nope,
I just thought
I like
that'd
that.
Be something
Thank
you'd
you.
Be interested in. Yeah,
you're
Glad welcome.
You thought of me.
Of course, that's not exactly the same as going to the farmer's market, and we're going to be talking about
fun.
Next.
Fun.
That's
farmers
right.
markets. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we should go and break and get Joan in here. What do you think?
Joan O'Connor is standing by, and she's a really interesting woman. With an interesting background and really passionate about the local eating scene.
And worms.
And worms, too.
And worms. I can see her in the green room. So stay tuned.
She didn't
listeners.
Bring us any worms. People always bring us samples of their product.
She brought us no worms.
Well, I told you I would have a cricket frappe yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you can make with worms.
Okay.
Sorry.
Food for thought. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back, friends. It is 12:30 at 107.7 WTPL. We are the Pulse. And it's all thing food, whether it's Granite or whether it's restaurants or whether it's local farms or personalities, cookbook writers, lifestyle. It's all about the food and where it comes from. And when it comes to us locally, that's an even better thing, if you ask. And I hope your microphone is on. Carol stepped out here for just a moment. Say something.
No.
Step over to that other microphone right now. You get to play the part of Carol Lawrence, because I know that mic's on and I can't reach the controls from here. She got called away for a phone call. This is Joan O'Connor, and you might know her from the fact that she has been running the Tilton Winter Farmers Market for some time. She ran the Manchester Farmers Market for a while. She also has and does raise a small quantity of worms for composting. So you are not the typical a person working in corporate America. You have found something that you love to do.
Sure.
Yeah. I
mean, we all have
move up nice and close with you.
We all have the hobbies on the side. So for years, you know, this environmental, you know, back in the 80s and 70s and whatever, I was always recycling newspaper with the school Boy Scouts and everything. And it just kept growing. And I got on recycling committees and started having a mouth. I'm known for no sense of limit. And so people send me into a group or whatever. Joan, you go talk to so-and-so. Joan, you go take care of this. And I just started really hounding people to do more of the pay-as-you-throw and, you know, working with recycling companies and stuff, trying to get the major places like Pat's Peak and whatnot to think of their impact on the town and the taxpayer. You know, so that think locally, act globally, whatever it is. Think globally, act locally. So I was really trying to push that.
But, I mean, you live it. And,
I live it.
And you're not making a tremendous amount of money.
No. There was a famous book about voluntary simplicity. I chose to move into a one-room schoolhouse. I live in 640 square feet before the tiny house popularity on television.
Oh, yes.
I've been living it. And my friends were terrified to visit me because at one point I had a composting toilet. Ooh. And they said, well, when you get a septic system, let us know. You know, so anyway.
I had a friend like that lives on top of Mount Unkanunik. Mm-hmm. And oh, that's terrible.
But it's not that hard. I did it, and I'm proud of it, and I've enjoyed the process, and I don't have debt. I don't have a huge mortgage payment. First of all, I don't have children and a husband, so that makes my life really easy compared to most of my friends. But anyway, I want to really emphasize the agricultural aspect, because this is not about me. This is about my 50 vendors. I have 50 plus vendors with.
They're going to be homeless.
No, they're not going to be homeless. They have farms.
Well, they do, but. They don't have a place.
Oh, the homeless.
I'm talking about the winter farmers market in Tilton.
Yes, I need a building. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, this is not summertime. Everybody thinks, oh, Village Green and, you know, some, you know, church building or whatever.
It's going to be inside.
It has to be inside.
And it has to have heat.
A little bit of heat. Doesn't have to be much.
Right.
40 degrees, 50 degrees,
sure,
right?
Sure, because we're all in there for just, you know, 4 hours. And the customers usually have their coats on. Mm-hmm. And they're on a mission. They want to get their eggs, their breads, and their, you know, whatever.
Their guacamole.
Mustards, whatever. Yeah. I have 50
their
vendors.
Wine,
beer,
right,
mead.
So what happened?
Donuts.
Why are you not going to be in Tilton any longer? What happened?
One of the most wonderful companies for me was AutoServe of Tilton. It's a car dealership up there. They have 9 brands of cars. They heard my dilemma a few years ago that I needed a building, and I went up and had a meeting with him, and he handed me the keys within, you know, a half hour. He said, here, do it. Do a farmer's market. But he had no clue about what this entailed. I asked him, have you ever gone to farmer's markets? And he said, the only market I've ever went to was Market Basket. Mm-hmm. So he had never seen this dynamic in his own personal life.
Well, you're a salesperson, too.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
but it's
how'd you
not
talk
that
to
hard.
Well,
it's not that hard.
Because you are passionate and you believe in it.
Sure.
You ooze it.
Well, you know, one of my favorite lines is the sale begins when the customer says no. If someone says no to me, I come at it from another angle. You keep coming at them. You think on your feet and you hear what they're saying and you analyze it quickly and you come back at them with another angle. And so, and luckily I don't have too many no's in my life. I have a lot of maybes. But anyway, AutoServe saw the philanthropic ability, because the Gaudette family is so wonderful in that whole Lakes region. People know AutoServe. And so They had purchased a building across the street. It was a former Agway building, and it was empty, and they weren't sure what they're going to do with it. Were they going to bulldoze it? Were they going to put in a dealership or whatever? I come along, hi, I want to put a farmer's market in your building. He's like, okay. So the first day, I mean, I had to also go through all the legal stuff with the town of Tilton, getting the fire department there to, you know, sign off on the fire escapes and all this kind of stuff. And this was 4 years ago, and the town selectman came in, and the zoning board, and all of the auto serve people, they walked in that first day, and they were like, what the? They were stunned. They had never seen, you know, a farmer's market dynamic, but also they started walking around. They started buying stuff. So now, and they were hooked. Once you get them in the door, you know, once, I love the skeptic. I like, you know, like for instance, the husband that gets dragged out on these kind of things, like, where are we going? Okay, we're going to a farmer's market. So, but the husband starts walking around, and I'm not being too sexist. The wives aren't always into it either. But, or the kids. The kids aren't into it. But yeah, they start sampling. I have a lot of sampling in that market. And all legal, because I'm very tough with the safe food handling, and I'm right on my vendors. Put a toothpick in that. Put your gloves on. And so anyway, everybody goes around and they sample things, and they pick up a veggie burger from Tilton Diner. That was one of my great vendors. I was so happy to have Alex Ray and his organization. And the children were eating veggie burgers, and the parents would look at me and they go, holy smokes, give me four packages of that, because it was really good ingredients. It was like 16 ingredients in their veggie burger. It's beans and whatnot. So it was that opportunity for children to try things, for the grumpy husband who was kind of hungry, and he picks up, I don't know, a mustard with a pretzel dipped in it or whatever. And he's like, whoa, this is good mustard. And he'll buy a jar, you know. So anyway, this all snowballed. People started coming back repetitively. And then I was drawing from, my vendors were drawing from Wolfboro, Littleton, Vermont, people from Milford, New Hampshire. People were driving up to this, because also in that region, which is key, is location, location. Behind my building was Walmart, Kohl's, Lowe's, Market Basket, Pizza Hut, Chili. The Tanger outlets were across the highway. You know, it was like a hub. You could do your chores on a Saturday, and then you could go to the farmer's market and get those specialty things that you didn't want to buy from the grocery store. You didn't want to go, you know, and buy lettuce coming out of California, because a lot of my vendors had the winter storage crops. They had potatoes, carrots, onions, parsnips. They had dairy. I have raw milk. I've got cheeses. You know, there are just wonderful vendors out there.
And you want this to happen in Manchester. Would this be a good town for you?
Well, that's another subject. Do I want to take that whole package and bring it down into the southern part of the state, mm-hmm. where you already have Whole Foods and, you know, Trader Joe's and all this kind of stuff? Is you have the grocery stores that carry an organic section or whatever, so you have more access to more food.
But more population density,
more
too.
Population hub.
I would look at that more than I would the availability in a few high-end stores.
And again, location is key. And again, it's hard sometimes to get past the legal thing. Like if I've explored Manchester. I've approached over the years. I've kept my eyes open for years, and I kept looking at those mill buildings. I drive by and I'm like, look at those gorgeous buildings on a Saturday morning, you know, when there a lot of them are empty, and all that parking lot. Of course, I'm looking at parking lots, but then you got to start with the mayor. You got to start, you know, the process of touching base with all the process of getting a market into a new location. And you do have the co-op coming in pretty soon. And I've been watching them for years. I can't
that's
wait.
That's probably at least 2 years away.
Two? Well, he said something about breaking, you know, in
that's
in
the paperwork is interminably slow. And it's,
yeah.
This is just me guessing, pulling out what I think mm-hmm. Steve is saying. 1 to 2 years.
Okay, that's
so. Cool. I think you'd have it to yourself for
oh,
at least 2 winters.
Oh, you're talking about
winters,
the co-op,
the Manchester co-op.
Got it.
Because that co-op
right.
is going to be so dynamic.
It
I know
is.
The other women, the woman that dresses up as a pea. I
yes.
always because we're all. It's a small world.
Yeah.
Have you seen her?
The mascot.
I mean, we all know each other in this mm-hmm. agricultural crowd, and we all like network and shake hands, and you know all this smiles. I mean, but we are sort of competing.
I don't think that's competition.
Each other.
I think that you're enhancing each other.
True.
Quite honestly, you're creating more awareness for mm-hmm. for both brands. And I think it helps both of you.
And what I have sitting in front of Carol is a waiting list. See that the the files? That is, I have 100 people on a waiting list. And they, you know, maybe some of them have already moved on to other things, but I can go back to these lists. And also artisans. It's not just food.
Sure.
You bring in artisans that are related to the food industry, like you were talking about granite cutting boards and whatnot. You can tie it in. A woman is a seamstress. She can do aprons. She can do potholders. You bring in someone that weaves. She can do, anyway, I tie it in to agriculture.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the solution Boston has come up with that you would love to see happen here, right?
Yeah, but I need $13 million,
please. Don't give it away. This is Food for Thought. Carol and Mike, 1077 WTPL, The Pulse. Carol O'Connor wants to build a new wonder farmer. I'm sorry, Carol O'Connor, the actor. Archie Bunker is here with us.
That was my cousin. I was related to him.
Carol O'Connor, the actor?
Yeah.
Really?
So I just accidentally threw that name out there.
That's cool.
Are you yanking my chain?
No, no. It's
what degree of cousin?
I never spoke to him. He died before I got really.
Yes.
Anyway, that's another story.
Wow. She's full of him. We'll be back just ahead. 107.7 WTPL, The Pulse.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to The Pulse, 107.7. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, and it is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. We are in studio with Joan O'Connor, the head of the Tilton Farmers Market. Tilton Winter Farmers Market. Oh, my goodness. You know why? It's because I don't want to say winter yet. But... So, yes, we've been talking about your farmer's market, and you were talking something about Boston.
Yeah, I just wanted to give her a quick
take on this. About that, so I'm anxious to hear this.
Well, the Boston Farmer's Market, in its own new dedicated building, opened up July 30th last year, and I'm sorry, this year, right? It was June or July?
Just open.
Just open. Nice and close to the microphone.
Just open.
All right, so they spent how much on this, and how? What's the capacity?
You must say that.
They received $13 million
from
the state of Massachusetts and the city of Boston. I'm sure there was some other funding and grants and everything that went into this, because I got this lead just a couple of weeks ago, and I started reading the article that was in the Boston Globe, and I'm like, oh my God, it's at Haymarket's right outside of the T station, and I've seen a picture of the building. It's a gorgeous brick building on a corner. They have 40 vendors, 40 farmers market vendors, and I read the list, I recognize some of the names, and it's going to be, I think it's from Wednesday through Sunday, so go to their website. I forget what it is off the top of my head, probably
easy to find.
Boston,
just Google
market,
Boston Farmers Market,
Boston Public Market, it's just an example of when the state and the city gets behind this passion. And I've been trying to turn to the New Hampshire Department of Ag and other funding sources, but it's been hard because it's still kind of new for New Hampshire, and this, but they realize the value because it's jobs, it's food, and it's also locally raised produce, organic produce.
It's a big deal now. It really is.
Yeah. And once you eat it, I mean, I sit at my at night eating my meal, and I'm looking at everything, and it's all right from, right around here, and I get goosebumps. I just like, yes. And even when
She sound like Steve?
Steve Freeman. Do you know Steve Freeman? Manchester
the co-op, guy.
Co-op guy. Well,
oh,
he's
yeah.
one of them.
Mm-hmm,
he's
mm-hmm.
he's definitely a striving, a very vocal striving force, as you are, because he lives it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just talk about
it. Well, he was talking about his sound last night. He sounded just like Joan. Maybe we can fix them up.
Oh, well, we don't know if John's married or not.
Steve is not married.
He's not. Oh, you've already
Steve
done the research.
He's not married. He's single.
Oh,
he said
well,
that
look
yesterday.
At you, little matchmaker.
Well, I was just thinking, because he made reference to having leftovers, having a tomato, and he said, what can I do with it? I'm a single man. And I'm like, ooh.
So I just
remember that.
I don't hear those things like maybe a woman
it.
Would. All right, so we need to get back to you. We've got 6 minutes left, and I know that you want to, make the case. Is your first preference to be in the area where you were, or doesn't it matter?
Yes, that would be Lakes my
region.
Preference, because everything is already set up, the Tilton Winter Farmers Market website, Facebook, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And also what I've established up in that region with all the newspapers. I know the writers. I know the editors. I know my system. It's like, whoop, I know how to start the ball rolling.
Right.
For the,
you have to
and
start
it's, but it's also the region, Belmont, Laconia. People say, how about like a church or a school cafeteria or a gymnasium? And there is a degree of difficulty. Like in the wintertime, you have to factor factor in the snowstorms and ice and whatnot. So it has to be someone that has a parking lot. I need parking for about 70 customers, and my 50 vendors need parking, and all of their grandmothers and aunts and uncles that come too. So I need parking, and I need visibility and easy, because if there's an older person who doesn't like driving in the wintertime, you don't want to put it down a dirt road and off in Canterbury somewhere. I know it's death. So I try to find something that's easy for everybody and make it more convenient for, you know, other projects when you're out for Saturday. And I want Saturday, obviously, that's the bigger shopping day. And I don't want a midweek. I just know that what works for me is this dynamic. I did try a two-day market, a Saturday, Sunday. For 2 years, I tried it. I'd like to try something, and it didn't quite work.
How about a Friday, Saturday?
Friday, Saturday. Well, I did a Friday market in the summertime. I partnered with the Tanger Outlets for 2 years in the summertime. And again, that degree of difficulty on a hot asphalt. But see, they don't have anything for the winter. I need something for that winter.
Right,
and they
right.
have smaller stores that are empty. But also, there's a dollar figure here. I don't have big chunks of money.
Right.
I can't sign a lease for, you know, $4,000 a month. I don't have $4,000, but that partnership with the private business like AutoServe and whoever else wants to jump on this, who has a showroom, who has and a warehouse in the back, who wants 1,200 people walking through your showroom in the dead of winter and happen to see, oh, you sell plumbing supplies? Oh, honey, we need a new toilet. Who wants that visibility? And then the customer can go on into a farmer's market in the back. Who has a seasonal business that they shut down in the winter, but they have to sort of keep it heated? So, you know, I'm trying to get that word out there, and I'm getting some leads.
It's a niche type of property, isn't it?
It's hard. The winter is hard.
You heard from somebody, though, today. We don't want to say who, but what type of business?
It was a marina.
Interesting.
In the Lakes region. And I'm like, I've always thought about the marinas. In my
pitch,
I'd say that.
Stuff,
who's
right?
got? Yeah, but they store the boats. You know, these marinas have the boats stored in the winter, so they may not have the square footage. But there's a business person. That's a person who, you know, boats. That's all. You know, that's pretty serious stuff. And so, you know, I haven't approached some of these marinas, but he called me this morning. I'm like, ooh, yes, I know. Yes, I'll give you a call, whatever. So, you know, yes, the leads are coming in, but I only have 4 months now. I've got August, September, October, November, because I could start the market in November or I could start it in December. But at this point, here's something new, and I'm bouncing this off of my vendors. Who wants to do a spring farmer's market? How about if I start it February, March, April, May? Because a lot of the summer markets don't start until May. And it's kind of risky, but, you know, I'm putting it out there to my people that, you know, should we try to do this? If I don't find something now, then I'm going to aim for that February, March, April,
May. How would it differ from a winter market in terms of the product available?
We're past the extreme cold. Okay. You know, things are starting to come back to life again. Like the farmers who have planted spinach and the winter greens, some of them stop growing completely in January because it's so freaking cold. And they're not heating their greenhouses, but things start waking up. So the farmers might have some crops in February, March. They can start harvesting carrots that were out in the far lower 40 or whatever. They've got some kale that made it through the winter. And then also the chickens start waking up. You know, in the dead of winter, they're not laying many eggs. You know, they want that daylight. So things start coming around again. So maybe, but right now that's just down the road. I want to focus on December,
focusing
January,
on
February,
the fall,
March.
Late fall, winter. Yes.
I have pulled a market together in 1 month. I've done it, and I can do it again. But it's hard on my vendors.
No doubt. We
don't
pretty much believe that. Yeah, you're a dynamo.
The vendors need to make plans, though. They're the ones that have to premeditate, okay, I'm going to plant the crops now so I can harvest it in the winter.
Right.
Or they're going to start raising more chickens, or they're going to buy in some of the animals that they would have, you know, that they can process for the winter markets. And so they have to come up with their business. They're starting to email me, hello, Joan, what are you doing?
Well, hopefully people are going to be listening, business people out there. Maybe some more marinas will call, or, you know, a seasonal business, you know, around there and help you out.
Thank you.
I hope so.
ChiltonWinterFarmersMarket.com is the easiest way to find me, or Jones Worms. I'm a worm farmer.
Let's talk about that a little bit. We have a couple minutes.
Right now?
Yeah.
Sure. Nice and close here.
Well, for about 20 years, I've been very involved in agriculture and recycling and composting and everything. And how many people have the compost bin in the back of their yard and you walk out there with your garbage in the dead of winter? I was sick of slipping on the ice and snow, opening my compost bin, dumping in my garbage, and there's this frozen mess. I got fed up with that. And so I started doing the research, and it kept referring to composting worms. And I'm like, And so you basically put these specialized worms. They're a composting.
They're
worm.
Not earthworms.
No, they're not your outdoor night crawlers.
Okay.
Our night crawlers are doing their job out in the gardens and the soils. Okay. They eat soil. My worms eat garbage. So you put them into a Rubbermaid container, any size you want, whatever you want to do, because they're just worms. They don't care. Just give them a place to live. You put peat moss and shredded newspaper in there, and then you keep them warm. They want to be between 60 and 80 degrees. So another thing, this is for like fishermen too. Quit putting the damn things in the refrigerator. Put them in a container and feed them. And more than coffee grounds, feed them, you know, stuff. But anyway, so my worms, I teach at conferences and workshops, and I lecture, and I also sell at the Concord Farmers Market every Saturday. And this is what kind of got me in this agricultural crowd. And I'll give her full credit. Diane Souther from Apple Hill Farm said, Joan, you'd make a good...
She's nice. I love her.
Oh,
nice lady.
She said, Joan, you'd make a really good market manager. And I thought, ooh, I'll try it. And she got me the job at Manchester, and it lasted, you know, I did it for 3 years, and that got my sight, you know, that got me sight. And then I opened the farmers markets, and so this is where I am.
Well, our segment is coming to an end, unfortunately, but you just got us thinking about something that's really helpful, and I hope that you're successful with this, and keep us posted on this.
Yeah, definitely. You have my email. We email, yeah. So definitely. So you can find her at TiltonWinterFarmersMarket.com or J O Connor NH at Yahoo.com or JonesWorms.com. That's what I was looking for. JonesWorms.com. There you go.
Thanks, Joan.
Thank you, Joan, very much.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
All right. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.